Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Clemens, Pettit, Tejada, Bonds. It's an all-star lineup of a very different kind. Yesterday, in New York City, former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell announced his findings on the baseball steroid scandal.
For more than a decade, there has been widespread illegal use of anabolic steroids and other performance-enhancing substances by players in Major League Baseball.
Mitchell came down hard on players and Commissioner Bud Selig, who later that day held a press conference of his own.
Discipline of players and others identified in this report will be determined on a case-by-case basis.
This hour, On Point, the Mitchell Report and the future of the game. Joining me now from New York, Luis Fernando Loza, senior investigative writer for Sports Illustrated. He's been reporting extensively on steroids, on sports, and was at yesterday's press conference. Hello, Luis.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Good. Welcome. Also in New York.
Thank you.
Yes, also in New York is Sean Assale, investigative writer with ESPN, the magazine. He is author of the new book, Steroid Nation. Hello to you, Sean.
Hey, Jane.
And from Laurel, Maryland, David Steele, sports columnist for the Baltimore Sun. Welcome, David.
Thanks for having me on. How are you today?
Good. So, Luis, let me start with you. What did you make of the report yesterday? What was your reaction?
I think it's a good thing that all this is being aired out in a forum like this. And certainly I know that Mitchell's report relies heavily on two things, on the work that was done in getting Kurt Radomski, the Mets clubhouse attendant, in his plea agreement to work with Mitchell, and basically the Bauko guys have held on to this information and allowed the Mitchell report to use it. I mean, I would say about 60%, maybe more, of the names come from that investigation,
right,
and that source, and then the other another 30 come from the Internet Pharmacy Wellness Clinic investigation that's spearheaded out of Albany, New York, and then the other 10% are older names like Jose Canseco who's admitted steroid user, and others who we've known about for a long time. So there have been questions have arisen about how effective this report is if such heavy reliance on these two sources. What else in this report is there that is new? And I guess what it is more is a taking of the pulse of everybody in baseball and getting their opinions on what's been going on from GMs right on down to attendants.
And to the players, yeah. Sean Assale, let me turn to you on that. 7 MVPs, 31 All-Stars named in the Mitchell Report. How are the players responding?
I'll tell you what's new. I mean, what's new in this is Brian McNamee, the personal trainer to Roger Clemens, coming out and saying that he injected Roger Clemens, that he injected Andy Pettit, you know, a trainer under pressure from the feds, being made to crack. I mean, that's the paradigm for this thing. So how are players reacting? I mean, you know, there was a really weird moment. I mean, you know, George Mitchell did some credible work here, right? And you know, he should be applauded for it. There were a lot of skeptics, and you know, he kind of quieted the skeptics. But then there's this weird moment, right? This, like, Alan Alda touchy-feely moment where he says, well, in my life, I've made mistakes, and I don't think anybody, you know, should be blamed for this. You know, give me a break. You know, I'm in favor of a general amnesty, but as a reward for coming forward and admitting what you did. And there's this, like, really creepy scene in this report, right, where the players are all in some mafia-like meeting, and somebody says, hey, you're either with us or you're without us. It's like The Sopranos. I mean, there was this wall of silence. Everybody is now hiding behind it, and I don't understand why you get a general amnesty for that. How do the players feel? I think they probably all feel like, you know, they're a bunch of guys who are about to retire, who took the hit. Nobody who's a really big name is, you know, whose name hasn't already been out there, hasn't been implicated. And they're probably just, like, you know, wiping their brow and thanking God there's no good test for HGH.
David Steele, what do you make of this sort of general amnesty that Sean speaks of?
You know, I'm glad that Sean brought that up, because one of the things that popped in my mind, even as the report was approaching, was, you know, here in Baltimore, one of the big controversies with the crime and drugs problem and the murder rate and things like that is the whole stop snitching phenomenon, and that's basically what's going on in baseball. You know, everyone is like, nobody's refusing to speak. Everybody's refusing to speak. Nobody's going to rat anybody out. Nobody's going to break that wall of silence. And, you know, I think it's come back to haunt them. It's come back to really just destroy their careers. And they think that they're doing something positive by holding this silence. And I think that the Mitchell Report really pierced through a lot of that because he went to all the other sources they needed. I mean, there was so much documented evidence of the canceled checks, the personal checks, the mailing slips, the shipping receipts. Just that appendix of the report was mind-boggling. And the information from both Radomski and from the personal trainer, people who were intimately involved, and all the detail of all the people within baseball who saw what was going on and made the decision not to say anything, to just sort of perpetuate it, including clubhouse attendants who received some of these packages full of performance-enhancing drugs, right up to general managers and team executives who were saying, well, we hear rumors that this guy's on steroids, so maybe we shouldn't sign him, maybe we shouldn't, debating, but never really doing anything and even recognizing that this is a problem that just reaches deep into the game, hurts its integrity, and should be called out, and nobody called it out, and that's why we're at the point we are today.
So how about the Players Association? Where does their where do they stand in all this? They resisted for many years drug testing of their players. Sean, what do you make of them?
You know, I mean, they're the bad guy in the movie. I mean, you know, Don Fair has a completely untenable position here. He's been obstructionist. He didn't see the train coming until it was too late. You know, he thought that because he had bullied the owners for you know, so long that he could bully them again. I mean, you know, he's gotten flattened in this. He just didn't see the train coming. And you know, the other thing is now he's going to have to deal with Congress again. And, you know, boy, isn't that going to be fun.
And what about the owners, Luis, in the midst of making a lot of money over the years? Have they turned their backs on this problem?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you bring that up also. Amusing circumstance. You have the same day that the Bonds indictment comes out, you have Bud Selig saying, but baseball has never been better. We made $6 billion in revenues this year, and it's our best season ever.
Right.
And so that's some of the myopism that's going on here. So the money is good and it's flowing, but the product at a core is corroding if it's all built on cheating and performance enhancement. And then the most important thing here, I think, and I'm sure everybody else agrees with this, and to build on what Sean was saying about that strange moment where let's all forgive and forget and move forward, is another one in which Mitchell mentions Don Hooten, the father of Taylor Hooten, who died after he committed suicide after taking steroids, as a way of highlighting the issue of these guys being the heroes of children and children emulating and imitating them, and the whole business of baseball and the structure of getting to the point where you're in high school, you're in college, and then you sign and get your bonus, or you're in the Dominican Republic as a 16-year-old, and you sign, and all these kids knowing that their heroes have and the superstars are taking steroids and human growth hormone to get where they are, so they have to too. So if that's the case, then what worse example can we send to the children of America and the Caribbean and Venezuela and Mexico who want to be baseball players than that we will not, we will have this broad amnesty and not punish these guys in some way? That was a strange moment. Now, of course, Selig addresses by saying we're going to look at this case by case and see what we do.
Well,
That's the important message here, is that this isn't just a business. A lot of people have this rationale. Well, the players are millionaires, and it's money, and they can decide and take steroids if they want to. Why don't we have an even playing field and have everybody take them?
Well, David Steele, what is the proper punishment then? I mean, if we don't forgive and forget and move forward, as Senator Mitchell seemed to suggest, what should we do?
You know, that's kind of the $60 billion question if we're talking about the revenues that baseball is bringing in. What bothers me about the whole idea of punishment and discipline is the man that the Mitchell Report basically said ought to be in charge of cleaning all this up. I mean, the person who he didn't name him by name, but he's basically said this is the man who fostered the culture of all this is Bud Selig. And, you know, there was never any recommendation that there should be any kind of change at the top. There should be any sort of restructuring of how baseball is operating within all of this, except for saying we're going to add Department of Investigation. I don't know how that's supposed to work, you know, because this is supposedly what they, you know, what security within the Major League Baseball is supposed to have been doing all along, and their example after example in the report of them failing to do so. You know, why is Bud Selig being allowed to be the guy who calls the shots on this? And why is Donald Fehr on the Players Union side allowed to be the person who calls the shots on what to do next? I mean, they created this situation. If this was any other company in American industry, I mean, if this was like Walmart or Mattel with the lead paint, and they would just be able to sort of shrug it off and say, hey, we made billions of dollars, and the industry has never been stronger, and we've got a problem, and I'm going to appoint myself as the head of the man who's going to clean it up, even though I'm the one who allowed it to get this dirty. How do you justify that?
So I got 30 seconds, Sean. What about the commissioner? How much blame does he bear?
You know, how about, you know, just about all of it. You know, I mean, there was this memo that was put out by his two predecessors that said steroids were illegal, and, you know, he didn't do anything about it. I mean, you know, the problem that Bud Selig is going to have now is that the cops have baseball players, you know, in their sights and in their sense, and the cops sort of now know where to get the stuff to get these guys, pharmacy records and all the rest. We're not seeing the end of the drip of names. Not by a long shot.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the fallout and the fury in Major League Baseball after the Mitchell report. We're speaking with David Steele, sports columnist for the Baltimore Sun, Sean Assayle, investigative writer with ESPN, the magazine, and author of the new book Steroid Nation, and Luis Fernando Loza, senior investigative writer for Sports Illustrated. So Roger Clemens, seven-time Cy Young Award winner, was mentioned more than 80 times in the Mitchell report. His attorney, Rusty Hardin, questioned yesterday the validity of the report.
Well, I'm not sure why the Mitchell report had to name names. Knowing as it did so, there was the risk of unfairly tarring people, as Roger strongly contends he has been.
And then executive director of the Major League Baseball Players Association, Donald Fehr, spoke about the fallout from the Mitchell report at his own press conference last night.
Many players are named. Their reputations have been adversely affected, probably forever. Even if it turns out down the road that they should not have been. In my view, anyone interested in fairly assessing the allegations against a player should consider the nature of the evidence presented, the reliability of the source, and the absence of procedural safeguards individuals who may be accused of wrongdoing should be afforded.
So what about the release of these players' names? In a country where you're innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, was it fair to release these names in such a manner? Sean, what do you think?
You know, there's this great scene in the movie with Michael Keaton about a newspaper. I think it was called the page in which somebody goes to Michael Keaton to Randy Quaid, who had written about him. Why me? Why me? And he turns to him and he says, "Because it was your turn." I mean, you know, these guys were it was unfortunate, but it was their turn. I mean, they needed names. They needed somebody to throw under the bus, and they needed a big ticket name. Roger Clemens, you know, was the guy who got thrown under the bus. But all of these other guys, I mean, you know, there were names that we knew about. Listening to Don Fehr, it's kind of, maybe their, you know, procedural safeguards weren't in place. But, I mean, these are not surprises to any of us.
What do you think, David? Was it fair to release these names?
Well, I think that baseball, in operating the way that it does, in the public arena like that, has to be accountable in some way. I mean, it has to, you know, part of their job is protecting the integrity of the sport that everybody, not just the players, but obviously the top executives, are making a lot of money off of. And Sean was right. I mean, the majority of these names were already out there. They were part of other investigations and other and came through other sources. I mean, I didn't have that much of a problem. I think that a few people have good cases, like right here in Baltimore, Brian Roberts' name was brought up, and it really seems that it's completely second and third hand information. There's no documentation to back up anything that was said about him. So there's a few individuals who I think would have a case, but unless they could really somehow impeach the credibility of the sources that implicated Roger Clemens, just to use him as an example, then I'm not sure if they have much of a case.
Let's go to the phones now. I welcome our listeners to the conversation. Kim is in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Kim. Are you there, Kim?
Hello?
Hi, welcome. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Something I think I would really love to see is all of these negative, you know, things have come out about baseball and the players, et cetera. But it would really wow me and my son, who is 9, almost 10 years old, and his entire ball team, if a list of the players that could be proven that did not take steroids, whether they were top A players or down at the bottom of the rung, if a list of baseball players came out that could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that they did not take steroids and they still played the game and they did it as professionals, I think suddenly those names in the minds and hearts of America, as well as the revenue stream that would follow behind it, would just make such a punch back at all of this that is going on, and would do something to the people that are kind of manifesting the situation where, in order to be successful in America, in almost anything, you've got to cheat to do it. And if you cheat to do it and do it successfully enough, then everybody's going to turn their head.
Kim, thanks so much. It's a great call. Louise, what do you think?
Well, that's a great suggestion. Procedurally, I don't know how easy it is to prove that that players are clean, but you know, things are being done in other sports. I believe in cycling, imprints are being taken of people's chemical makeup, in testosterone imprints, stuff like that, so that they can have a card, like a passport that the World Anti-Doping Agency has developed, and then that chemical makeup can be compared in the future to times when they're tested to see if they have altered things in an effort to enhance when competing. So she is totally right, and her son is, I can hear it in her voice, is looking for authentic idols,
authentic,
and we need
heroes,
them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, she mentions her son, and I actually want to play this clip. Youth Radio asked teenagers what they thought about the Mitchell Report, and here is one view.
I'm Mike Ginsburg. I'm from Oakland, California, and I'm 17 years old. We're in an era where everybody wants to see home runs, and superstar athletes are supposed to be like these gladiators, and honestly, steroid use begins in high school. I know high school players that take steroids. I know college players that take steroids. It is common. I'm not going to lie. George Mitchell is right. It's common, but it is nicer if you don't know about it. It's kind of, you know, if your ignorance is bliss. If you don't know what players are doing steroids, then you won't think twice about clapping or cheering or being so enthusiastic about a baseball player. So if I enjoy the game more, which I do, when I see more home runs and more hits, I mean, that's great.
That interview produced by Youth Radio. So, Sean, what is the impact, most importantly, on our kids?
Great question. As a matter of fact, if your listeners want to go to ESPN.com today, they'll see I have a piece about a high school football team and one student on that team who talks about youth, and he talks in stark terms about the equation that some kids see, that they're the man in their school, that they're going to get a football scholarship, that nobody messes with them. I mean, this is in the voice of a kid. You know, I think that where there's a direct equation in a child's mind between success and steroids, they are going to do it. They're going to know how to beat the test. I think where you want to see deterrence, and the president released some stats this week that shows steroid use among high school seniors is down, is, I think, you know, in casual use, experimental use, and I think deterrence can make an effect there. I think that the question of high school steroid testing is a complicated one. New Jersey, one of three states, is spending $100,000. Texas is going to spend $3 million next year. I mean, there may be some middle ground. In my book, I'll just add that I asked a researcher what she thought, and she said if our aim is to keep sports clean, maybe high school steroid testing is a good idea. But if our aim is teen health, maybe we should put the money into seatbelts because car accidents kill more kids. So I think it's a complicated issue.
Well, David, I actually heard Senator Mitchell speak last night about the health effects of steroid use on kids. And coming out of this report, that was his biggest concern, actually. You know, what does it mean for these kids who see their heroes using the stuff and their own potential use in their young lives?
And I think it's very important that Senator Mitchell talked about it at length in his introduction and in the report about the health risks and about the effect it has on youth, and that he mentioned Donald Hooton, who I've had the opportunity to talk to. I'm sure the other our guests here have as well, as well as other parents who have been affected by this. I mean, this whole steroid thing sort of comes from the bottom up. I mean, it starts in the gyms in everybody's neighborhoods. It starts in everybody's high school locker rooms. In every sport, not just baseball, clearly in every sport. I mean, what's going on in Major League Baseball is really just a fraction of what's going on, and it's something that's sort of built kind of like a pyramid to get to the very top level, where there's more. The major leagues ought to have more control over how to stop this, how to control this, and how to send the message out that this is unacceptable. And they clearly have not done it, and so they've only made things worse on the lower levels, where it was already rampant with kids who weren't trying to make it into the major leagues, who just wanted to look good on the beach or wanted to make their high school team or wanted to compete with the guys that they were their own peers at their own age level. Mm. So, baseball has to take responsibility for that, as do all the other sports.
Back to the phones now. Bill, who's calling from Terre Haute, Indiana. Bill, welcome. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, good.
My first question is, are these substances a legal substance that are just being used illegally in major league sports in general because they've decided to make them a ban? And let me say that I've pretty much given up on all of the team sports because of the fact that the gentlemen of the game have pretty much come to an end. The era of the professional who hands the ball back in the end zone to the referee and stands there proud that he made a touchdown instead of jumping around like a crazy man or et cetera, et cetera, has pretty much come to an end. So I guess my statement is to this whole thing is, why don't we just say it's come to an end as we know it and let it just be what it ends up being, like the old fantasy movie there, Rollerball. If it's going to turn into some crazy bunch of maniacs out there taking all kinds of crazy drugs, I mean, in the end, this is entertainment. You know, I know we personalize this, and we know everybody's record back to grade school and what they did, and we idolize them as individuals. But in the end, they're making billions of dollars, or paying millions and millions of dollars a year for these professional men who have decided to make this a career, and they should be able to just do whatever they will and just let it go to wherever it goes.
Bill, thank you. Thanks so much for your call. I really appreciate your thoughts, and I want to ask Louise about your first question, which was about the legality of these drugs. Are these drugs technically illegal?
It really depends on how they're being used. I mean, steroids and human growth hormone, which are the two key performance enhancers that are being used in baseball. There are others like EPO that are more prevalent in cycling. But those two, I mean, steroids have a great use. These are important drugs that have been invented for specific uses. Human growth hormone helps in situations where people have pituitary dysfunction, or when people are suffering from AIDS and their body is wasting. And those are the indicated uses for HGH. But to use these drugs for performance enhancement and to use them. What's come up through the internet pharmacy wellness investigation is that the situation now is that it not just among baseball players and other and world wrestling entertainment and the rest of the sports world, but generally speaking, when you turn 25, there's every justification and excellent rationale on the web that your testosterone levels and your human growth hormone levels are starting to diminish and that you need therapy. You need testosterone therapy. You need human growth hormone therapy to maintain your virility, to maintain your sense of well-being, and it's being pushed in anti-aging clinics across America. And so the problem, I think, is that this needs to be top to bottom. You need Congress to step in, and you need rules to be in place, and you need a structure within the federal structure. The Drug Enforcement Administration and the FDA need to spend more time and more resources in this. Where the money's going to come from, who knows. The second thing I want to address, though, here is this issue of it's entertainment. And we spoke about this earlier a bit. You can't do that. You can't say it's okay, it's a freak show, let it happen, we're being entertained. Because, again, it becomes a national health issue when people who we idolize and emulate, everybody watches on TV, are doing certain things, and then kids in America are doing it to emulate them or to look like them.
Sean, do you want to weigh in on that argument?
Yeah, first let me say that Luis has done some of the groundbreaking work on the pharmacy scandals case, and you know, I think he's absolutely right. Sports is a reflection of life, and in life we're trying to turn back the clock, so all of this anti-aging medicine that they're pushing on us, we're seeing it bubble up through sports. Secondly, you know, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. You can't turn it into a freak show. On the other hand, what's on the other side of this report? Here's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a blue ribbon panel. I'd like to see somebody discuss, can steroids be used healthfully? Now, don't panic. I know there's a lot of hysteria in the air. Can they be used healthfully? In sports. Luis also hit on something that I'm really pleased he did, which is this idea of in cycling, they're coming out the other side of their pain. Baseball's going through the pain now. Cycling's coming out the other side of it. And in that, you know, what they've decided is to sort of try to take steps for transparency. You know, maybe bridge the gap between all of this hush-hush mafia-like secrecy and trying to wean the public into the idea that maybe there is a kind of a place for this stuff. I don't know. I don't want people to panic. No, I'm not saying that this should be used in, you know, in high schools or for kids. But I am saying, you know what? Is there a distance between healthful, modest use under medical supervision and the kind of manic freakazoid doses that were causing players' heads to grow three sizes too large? I would just like to see a Bud Selig actually, you know, have a blue ribbon commission, and let's do a reasonable conversation.
David Steele, Luis brought up the human growth hormone, and Senator Mitchell's report focused mostly on anabolic steroids in his report. But is there talk of blood testing for HGH, since you can't really, well, you can't see it. You can't test for it in a urine analysis, right?
Yeah, no, you can't. And blood testing is, as far as anybody knows, is the only way to do it. And as far as anybody knows, there's no way that the union is going to allow something like that. And understandably so. And you really do start to get into the area of like how invasive are we going to allow these tests to be? Because as much as everybody wants to get rid of these things, you know, at what cost to your own personal your rights to what teams can do in order to protect their jobs and protect your jobs. It's a very slippery slope that we're talking about. And as far as HGH goes, since this is sort of what has evolved out of the decreased popularity of steroids because of how easy it is to test for them, you know, once they discover how to test for HGH, clearly they will have moved on to something else. Somebody will have come up with something in a lab somewhere that's even harder to test for, that may be even more based on a natural substance than HGH is, something that we can't even think about right now. And so that's part of baseball's problem, is that they're 2-3 decades behind the time. They're going through the struggles that track and field went through 2 decades ago and that football went through a decade ago. And this is just part of the problem. I mean, Bud Selig spoke up yesterday about, oh, we're going to hold an HGH summit. I mean, I'm sure that all the chemists out there, like the people out at Balco, are probably just laughing when they hear something like that. It's like HGH. I mean, we're past that already.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking about a roster of reactions to the Mitchell Report and what it means for the future of Major League Baseball and for players. We're speaking this hour with Luis Fernando Loza, senior investigative writer for Sports Illustrated, David Steele, sports columnist for the Baltimore Sun, and Sean Assale, investigative writer with ESPN, the magazine, and author of the new book, Steroid Nation. What about the Hall of Fame, gentlemen? After all this, will Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds still be eligible? David, what do you think?
Well, they'll be eligible, and it's funny. During the break, it just sort of dawned on me for the first time in this whole process that by the time I have enough length of membership in the Baseball Writers Association of America to vote for the Hall of Fame, you have to be a member for 10 years. It'll be around the time that Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds will be up for induction. It'll be right around that area. So, yeah, unless we know the history of all the players, period, that have played in this era, I don't think there's anything that could really stop those players from being voted into the Hall of Fame. And I think that if I had a vote, taking everything into consideration, not just what we know now, but what we might learn in the next 5 years, and what we know about baseball history, period, about all the other so-called tainted eras, including the 50 years that baseball was segregated, you can't say don't put these guys in, or you can't put these guys in. They represent the era. You know, there were a lot of users. They were the most accomplished of the players that used. So, and so you can separate out who used, who didn't, who was quote unquote clean, and who quote unquote was dirty. I don't think there's anything that can really prohibit you from voting these guys in.
Louise, what do you think?
Well, I mean, that's a very well thought out and good rationale. I think this is more of a gut feel, though, that shouldn't be the case. That shouldn't be how this is structured. Because all took, but some were caught. Those caught should skate. I think I would go more after the model of what happened with Marion Jones, which is it was clear through investigation and through the Balco work and the work of the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency that she took steroids starting at some point in 1999. And through to at least 2003. So the medals that she won in Sydney Olympics are gone, and the IOC has just ruled that every single record in every book that she's entered in is now wiped clean. Now, there's a question here. Is the person who came in second place and third place and fourth place and tenth place in each of those races that she has no longer won, are they clean? Who knows? But unless you start punishing at the top, there is no hope for cleaning up throughout. And so my feeling is, you know, if Rose can't get into the Hall of Fame because he gambled, Clemens and Bonds shouldn't get into the Hall of Fame because they gambled with their health and were cheating and using performance-enhancing assistance to do what they did. And so, frankly, let me put it to you this way. If nobody from this era gets into the Hall of Fame, be it Mark McGwire or any of the other guys, because it was an era in which steroid use was rampant, so be it. You know, frankly, the other issues I think are secondary. The issues of that came up in conversations that I heard throughout the last few days about, you know, ballparks being smaller, technology of the baseball. You know, who was and who wasn't included at different times. I think this is different. This is blatant cheating, and we should treat it as harshly as possible to set precedent.
I'd like to bring another voice into this conversation now. Joining me from Baltimore is Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings. He represents Maryland's 7th District, and he's a senior member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee and the co-founder and chair of the Congressional Caucus on Drug Policy. In 2005, he asked players tough questions at congressional hearings into the steroid scandal. Congressman, nice to have you here. Thanks.
It's good to be with you.
You've been in the middle of this for a long time. What was your reaction to the Mitchell report?
I was not shocked, but I was a bit surprised that it was so extensive. And to have 33 all-stars and the 91 folk mentioned, I thought said volumes.
So what's the response here from a legislative level? Does the DEA need to get more involved here, the FDA? I mean, what's the feeling in Washington about the next step legislatively?
Well, the feeling is, first of all, we've got to listen to Senator Mitchell and Selig and the Players Union, and then I think we are at a point where we need to see what their reaction is going to be, what the reaction of the union and Selig are going to be, and that's critical because I think most of us would like to see the league address its own problems. I mean, we've always said that. But we got into this mainly because of children. And the gentleman that just spoke, I agree with him 1,000,000%. Some kind of way, we've got to send a powerful message that when people disobey the federal law, cheat, take illegal drugs, it sends a horrible message to our children. And again, we got into it because children were emulating these superstars, the professionals. And so hopefully the Players Union and the league will work this thing out and accept all of these recommendations. But if they don't, I think that Congress has to step in. Because let me tell you something, we're at a very critical moment. This report is out there. Either we are going to act and correct the situation, or we give it license to continue and get worse, because we are at this critical moment. Before, you know, people could say, well, we didn't know. Well, now we know. We have a pretty good idea. And so we'll see.
Congressman Elijah Cummings, I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Back to the phones now. Brent, who's calling from Spokane, Washington. Nice to have you with us, Brent. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I don't even know where to start. You hit on so many points here. The congressman, and I had a note on this, is whenever there's an issue that comes up, everybody always likes to play the children card. You know, get those heartstrings going because, you know, if there's nothing else there, we have to do it for the children. And I think that's a bunch of baloney.
Why?
Well, the fact is, these are all educated men. Going back to your one caller, this baseball is no longer a sport. It's entertainment. I don't care how you look at it. From the point that the baseball teams sell to the TVs, which sell to the advertisers, which sell to John Q. Public, which support it. This is a multi-billion dollar business that, you know, we as consumers are supporting. And the team owners know that they need to put the best team out there, and the players want to be there, and they want to get paid. I do not agree with steroids by any way, shape, or form. But the way it's going about this is very odd. It's like, okay, what's the most visible sport that we can get a hold of and latch onto? I think we are wasting a whole bunch of time. And probably John Q. Public really doesn't care. Just give me a good baseball game.
Brent, thanks for your perspective. Shauna Sale, what do you think about the caller's thoughts?
I mean, it's kind of sad when we think that, you know, our votes no longer matter, whether it's in Washington or whether it's in the pocketbook. Our votes do matter, and, you know, we just have to assert our will. I mean, you know, I think it's interesting, and with deep, deep respect to David, I think the Hall of Fame votes are going to be a chance, and we've seen it with Mark McGwire, to exercise a kind of national conversation. I mean, I don't have a vote. David does, so I haven't gone through as deep a soul-searching as he has on this. But I do think that it's an opportunity for us to sort of make a moral statement and have a moral conversation. And I think that caller, you know, I completely respect his sense of hopelessness, but I encourage him not to feel so hopeless because, you know, we do have a voice, we vote with our pocketbooks, we're voting for baseball right now, but, you know, we could spend our money and get a say in the conversation for that money. And I think that's, as fans, what we should demand. And I don't believe in bread and circuses. You know what, it's a beautiful game without, you know, as many home runs as been hit. I mean, it's small ball is just as beautiful as long ball.
Anita is on the line now from Chesapeake, Virginia, with another thought. Anita, welcome. Hi.
Thank you. My question is, why are we having this conversation? I agreed with the caller that said you should not release any of the names unless you're going to also release the positive, you know, the players that did not take any type of drugs. But I don't understand why Congress is involved in this. I don't want to waste any more taxpayers' money on this because you cannot legislate morality on any subject, whether it's ball or not.
Anita, thank you. What do you think about that, David? Are there more important things for Congress to be worried about?
No, there probably are. I'd have to say so, but I don't think you necessarily say that it's a hard thing to prioritize and a hard thing to rank. I mean, these are still people's lives that we're talking about, and these are still citizens, this is still citizens' money that's being spent on this, and there's the fact that baseball still has an antitrust exemption from Congress. So they clearly they have a reason to be involved, and you know this is a case of protecting the interests of the people who spend a lot of money on baseball and protecting the health of the players themselves, which is why some of the calls about how this is just entertainment, you know, that kind of frustrates me a little bit because. If with all this talk about records and asterisks in the Hall of Fame and everything get a lot of attention, and yet say, you know, 2, 3, 4 years from now, 10 years from now, some player drops dead from an enlarged heart or kidney failure or something like that because of the drugs that he's abused in this, and back in the day when everyone was arguing about home runs and nobody said anything, then it goes from being entertainment to being a human tragedy, which it still is. It's no less of a tragedy for the players themselves who have to make that choice about the living that they chose as it is for the children that Representative Cummings spoke about who have to make the same choice when they're, you know, when they're 17 years old. So I think there's a lot of human lives involved in this, and obviously a lot of money. So I have no problem with Congress getting involved with this.
I have a question for you, Luis, about Senator Mitchell and his connections to baseball, because a lot of people, a lot of newspaper reporters have been pointing out in the last 24 hours that Senator Mitchell has a lot of ties to baseball. He's on the Red Sox Board of Directors, though apparently he's on leave at the moment. The New York Times had a whole story on that angle this morning. The Boston Globe suggests that it's a mistake to have the steroids investigation led by Mitchell, who has business ties to the sports network ESPN and is a member, of the Red Sox Board of Directors. Is it fair to make all of this an issue with Senator Mitchell?
Well, I mean, I think they have to have considered that this would be brought up as a coda to the release of the report. Now, that's obvious. And I think when one thought at the beginning, who should we elect to do a completely fair and balanced and without conflict of interest study, they should have chosen perhaps someone else. But that was then. Now we stand with the work that's been done. And I do think that Senator Mitchell did a fair job. He touches on players. He doesn't exclude certain players. His, you know, the general manager of the Boston Red Sox is used as an example, Theo Epstein, of someone who, in email discussions about a player, that being Eric Gagne, was wondering whether, you know, he was a good player because there were rumors about his steroid use. And also Eric Gagne is one of the players who was just recently a Boston Red Sox and is prominent member of the All-Star category here.
Right.
So certainly that's one other thing I want to touch on here, though, back to what we were just talking about. And David made a great point with this is look at wrestling, because cycling provides us with a situation where nobody paid attention to the problem of steroid use and EPO use in cycling, and it became a disaster with every single tour winner for years in a row either under a cloud of suspicion or testing positive, and all the top stars in problems, and sponsors pulling out, and people absolutely disgusted with a sport which would otherwise be at a very vital and alive period.
Right.
And then wrestling provides another example of where we could be in 10 years with baseball, because these guys have been dying. And it's sad, but they've been dying like every 5 or 6 weeks. An ex-wrestler dies who's at the bright age of 35 or 40 or 50, when they should be in the second stage of their existence, not on a slab.
Luis, I want to bring in another caller here to round out the hour. Chris is in Saranac Lake, New York. Hi, Chris. Welcome.
Good. How are you doing today?
Hi. Good. Welcome.
I had a question about how the Mitchell report and steroids would translate to other investigations in other sports. I know golf, there's a lot of talk about mood enhancers and amphetamines in golf, as well as basketball and NASCAR. I was just wondering how this Mitchell report would kind of catapult the conversation into other sports as well.
Sean, what do you think? Good call, Chris. Thank you. Sean?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that we've seen post-Balco is the rise of a sort of sports police force, and you have a certain number of cops who are now making this their careers. And I think that, the same people who helped George Mitchell are going to be available to help any other sport that wants it, or maybe, force it on them if they don't want it. So, yeah, I mean, I think whether it's the NFL golf or, frankly, NASCAR racing, I mean, if you ordered from one of these pharmacies under investigation, your name is in the hopper. I do think that that's something that we're going to see more.
What do you think, David?
No, I agree. I think it's going to spread to every sport. I mean, baseball hasn't been first on too many things, but in terms of putting out this sort of a comprehensive study, as comprehensive as it is, they did a good job, despite the skepticism people have had. The NFL has not really done anything like this. Hockey, the NBA. It's amazing, actually, how many sports have not been touched by something like this, and it may take some sort of disastrous happening or some sort of, terrible publicity scandal to shake them all out of their complacency. But I can't imagine how it wouldn't spread to every sport, and how everything from steroids to HGH to ephedra and all sorts of enhancements won't be studied at some sort of length to see what advantages can and can't be taken.
David Steele joining us from Laurel, Maryland, sports columnist for the Baltimore Sun. David, great to have you with us. Thanks for your perspectives.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Shauna Sale, investigative writer with ESPN the magazine. Thanks to you as well, Sean.
Thanks, Jane.
And Luis Fernando Loza, joining us from New York, senior investigative reporter for Sports Illustrated magazine, was at yesterday's press conference. Great to have you, Luis. Thanks.
Jane, thank you very much for having us all on the show.
You can continue the conversation, listeners, and download the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. On Point host Tom Ashbrook still recuperating from bypass surgery successfully. We wish him well. He'll be back in the seat January 2nd. I hope you all have a good weekend. I'm Jane Clayson. This is On Point.